Diane, sunrise. Slept badly. Something I thought wasn't possible to do here. A face of a young girl seemed to haunt me all night. I'm not sure who, living or dead. I also discovered the source of the perfume on the note slipped under my door. It belongs to Audrey Horn. She wants to play detective. Let me rephrase that. She wants to help with the investigation. I'm sure it's all just a young girl's romantic fantasy to her. She's 18, by the way, last August 24th. I must remain alert and cautious in this area, Diane. She clearly doesn't understand the dangers involved, both physical and emotional. Diane, 1 p.m., in the motel room of a Philip M. Gerard, the one-armed man, a traveling salesman, shoes, middle name Mike, as in my dream. The killer in my dream was named Bob. Mr. Gerard has a friend named Bob Lydecker, a veterinarian who works above a convenience store. He is currently a coma patient in Calhoun Memorial, Gerard's reason for visits. Extrapolating from my dream, I believe we will find that whoever owned the bird that attacked Laura Palmer took that bird to the Lydecker Clinic and perhaps bought the twine used to bind Laura's wrists in the store downstairs. Diane, 3 p.m., just back from the Lydecker Clinic. While a llama may produce some of the finest of wools prized around the world, their breath, on the other hand, could only be prized somewhere in the far reaches of llama hell. Lydecker's records tell us that the bird that attacked Laura was a minor bird named Waldo, owned by Jacques Renault. The plastic fragment found in Laura Palmer's stomach was a poker chip from across the border at One-Eyed Jack's. Jacques is a Canadian national, known to have worked on and off at the casino. When all signs point to Rome, Diane, it's time to buy Lyra and go. Diane, 11:19 p.m., Jacques Renault's apartment. We know that Laura had sex with three men the night she died. Jacques Renault is suspect number one. We just found Leo Johnson's blood-stained shirt here in Jacques' apartment. Leo is suddenly the front-runner for suspect number two. I've got a strong hunch, however, that the blood on Leo's shirt will prove not to be Laura's. Now, Leo's a trucker. Jacques, a Canadian. A good keystone combination for the movement of drugs across the border. And Laura, as we know, had a habit. Probably more than one.
Diane, it is 4:28 a.m. I have just been woken up by the most god-awful racket, which you can probably hear over the sound of my voice. Can you hear that? Up until this moment, I've experienced nothing at the Great Northern Hotel but the most pleasant, courteous service imaginable. However, it just goes to prove the point that once a traveler leaves his home, he loses almost 100% of his ability to control his environment. Diane, I was wondering if you could overnight express to me two pair of those ear pillow silicone earplugs which I used on my last trip to New York. Naturally, I didn't bring them with me on this trip because I didn't feel it would be necessary. However...
Diane, 5 p.m., deep in the woods near the Pearl Lakes. The log lady directed us to a cabin further up the ridge from hers, owned by Jacques Renault, where we found the bird Waldo. Several bloodstains that I assume this time will be a match to Laura Palmer, a camera used in producing the photographs of the girls found in Flesh World magazine, a broken poker chip from One-Eyed Jack's, and finally a ball of Finley's fine twine that should match the fibers found in her wrists. We've put out an APB. At this time, Jacques is still at large, as is Leo Johnson. Diane, it's Agent Cooper here, a believer in facts. Diane, 3 a.m. Upon entering my room at the Great Northern 2 hours ago, I discovered Audrey Horn lying in my bed under the sheets, disrobed. As a member of the Bureau, Diane, you're well aware of the difficult choices one is forced to make in the line of duty. Miss Horn is a young, beautiful and vulnerable woman of 18, in need of friendship and understanding. We ordered up a couple of malts and some fries from room service and chatted for over an hour. Diane, 1 p.m. Note the following. Harry S. Truman is not just infatuated, he's fixated with mill owner Josie Packard. There's a mysterious quality about her, an unsolved mystery, spelled D-A-N-G-E-R. Run a check on Mrs. Packard, widow of Andrew, maiden name unknown, Chinese national, immigrating here via Hong Kong 6 years ago. I'm fond of Harry Truman. The thought that he may be in over his head is troubling to me. Here's hoping I'm way off the mark. Diane, continuing with notes from observations of the physical relationships within the closed confines of the station house, Lucy, the receptionist, is sending out signals that she is, one, very upset with Deputy Andy Brennan, and two, very pregnant. Diane, what you are about to hear is deeply disturbing. That was the last entry Waldo the Miner made. A bullet entering from outside the station ended his shiny-eyed, beaked, and feathered life. Deputy Hawk gave chase, but was unable to apprehend Waldo's killer. It is possible that whoever assassinated Waldo is the killer of Laura Palmer. Diane, 9 p.m., a dark, smoke-filled corner of One-Eyed Jack's. The madam of the house is a spider woman who calls herself Blackie. I must admit, Diane, that I have a strong attraction to this vice called gambling. I'm carrying the Bureau's money and will be utilizing certain techniques of concentration which have never failed to return a profit of at least 10% on the dollar. That should just about cover the losses I expect Big Ed will suffer at what I guess is a loaded roulette table. Roulette, Diane, is a sucker's game. The proper receipts and paperwork will, of course, be returned after a full accounting of any losses or gains. As is usual, any profits that do accumulate will be forwarded to some worthy charity. Diane, if I'm not mistaken, the large, fleshy, dirigible-shaped card dealer taking a seat behind the blackjack table is Jacques Renault. Diane, 11 p.m. Leaving One-Eyed Jack's. Jacques Renault is hooked and will be reeled in by Sheriff Truman and his men as soon as we get him back stateside. The truth of what happened that night at Jacques' cabin is as ugly as one could imagine. The broken chip, the bird, all of it. There's a feeling of death in the air, Diane. I can't explain it, but it's as tangible as the air I'm breathing. Maybe it's the evil that Harry talked about. Something is dark and primitive in these ancient woods. I'd like to be stretched out in front of a warm fire somewhere. No such luck. Diane, past midnight, Calhoun Memorial Hospital. Jacques Renault is in custody, suffering from a gunshot wound to the left shoulder. Deputy Andy Brennan shot him, saving Harry's life. Jacques did not kill Laura Palmer. He was a player in this game. Our attention now turns to Leo Johnson, still at large. Diane, I suspect the events of this night are far from over. Dr. Lawrence Jacoby is resting in intensive care, suffering from a heart attack and or physical assault. possible relationship to this case? Unknown, except for one item. 2 hours ago, Dr. Jacoby claims to have seen Laura Palmer alive. Diane, please also note that James Hurley has been arrested for possession of cocaine found in the gas tank of his bike. The informant leading to this arrest was apparently Leo Johnson. I believe I need a large cup of hot, strong coffee.
Diane, 4:37 a.m. After a long investigative night returning to my room at the Great Northern, we have one suspect in custody, and Leo Johnson, the man I believe is responsible for Laura's death, won't be able to escape the dragnet we've thrown up for him much longer. As you can hear from the ambient sound around me, and I notice with some relief that the Icelandic group staying on my floor have either checked or passed out. I may not need the ear pillow earplugs, which I did receive today, Diane, although I suspect I may put them to use as a purely precautionary measure. I ordered some hot milk from room service. Here's hoping that does the job and I'll be able to catch a few hours of quality sack time. 24-hour room service must be one of the premier achievements of modern civilization. Diane, my recorder is on the table. I'm unable to reach it at this time. I can only hope that I inadvertently pressed the voice activation button. I'm lying on the floor of my room. I've been shot. There's a great deal of pain and a fair amount of blood. Fortunately, I was wearing my bulletproof vest last night per bureau regulations when working undercover. I remember folding the vest up and trying to chase down a wood tick. If you can imagine the impact on your chest of three bowling balls dropped from a height of about 9 feet, you might begin to approximate the sensation. All things considered, being shot is not as bad as I always thought it might be, as long as you can keep the fear from your mind. I guess you could say that about most anything in life. It's not so bad as long as you can keep the fear from your mind. Oh my God. The ring is gone. Time like this, curiously, you begin to think of the things you regret or the things you might miss. I would like, in general, to treat people with much more care and respect. I would like to climb a tall hill, not too tall, and sit in the cool grass, not too cool, and feel the sun on my face. I wish I could have cracked the Lindbergh kidnapping case. I would very much like to make love to a beautiful woman who I had genuine affection for. And, of course, it goes without saying that I would like to visit Tibet. I wish they could get their country back and the Dalai Lama could return. Oh, I would like that very much. All in all, a very interesting experience.
Diane, 9:15 a.m., Calhoun Memorial. Doc Hayward says I can expect to live a full, normal life, which should be a new experience in and of itself. If one could buy stock in the medical supply business in Twin Peaks, Diane, this would be a good time to jump in. To summarize, briefly, Leo Johnson checked in at approximately 5 a.m., suffering a single gunshot wound to the upper chest. Condition, critical. Jacques Renault apparently checked out a short time later, due to murder. Pete Martel is suffering from second-degree burns and smoke inhalation, as is Shelley Johnson, suffered at the Packard Mill, which had a large fire last night. Catherine Martel is reported missing, possibly a victim of the fire. Also missing is Josie Packard. Is there something more than coincidence at work here? And Big Ed's wife, Nadine, is in serious condition. An attempted suicide. Pills, I believe. Diane, have you ever had one of those days? One other thought, Diane. Have you ever known any really tall men? Diane, ouch! The process of healing depends as much on clear, focused thought as a good, stiff antibiotic. Ouch! In the highest regions of the Himalayas, generations of Tibetan people have healed themselves through the power of the mind and the rigor of certain physical exercises. Ouch! I think I'm on the verge of a breakthrough. Ouch! Diane, it's time to lay this all out as we now have it. I'll cut right to the events at the cabin. At or about 1 a.m. on the night of the murder, Leo Johnson, Laura Palmer, Jacques Renault, and Ronette Pulaski arrived at Jacques' cabin together. The four of them were heard passing by the cabin of the log lady. Upon reaching Jacques', they partied, drugs and liquor were consumed, Laura was tied up and had sexual relations with both Leo and Jacques. Waldo, Jacques' bird, was let out of his cage and attacked Laura. Leo and Jacques fought. Jacques went outside and passed out. When he came to, Leo and the girls were gone. What none of them knew was that a third man was outside watching. He was heard passing by the log ladies. I believe that Leo then left alone, leaving Laura tied up, at which time the third man entered the cabin. Several things support the notion that Leo was not involved in the actual murder, the strongest of which is that on the night of the Teresa Banks murder, Leo Johnson was in jail in Hungry Horse, Montana, on assault charges. The third man then took Laura and Ronette to the train car on foot. Once inside, he killed Laura, a process that took him over an hour, during which, suffering from a severe blow to the head, Ronette escaped unobserved. 5 miles down the tracks from the train car, Deputy Hawk found a blood-soaked rag and several scraps of bleached paper. The blood on the rag matches that used to write the note in the train car. Fire. Walk with me. The blood was not Laura's or Ronette's, and it wasn't Jacques or Leo's either. It was a rare type, AB negative, and it belongs to the man who wrote that note. The third man. The killer.
Diane, it's 11:55 p.m., approximately 19 hours since the shooting incident, which nearly caused me to make a premature purchase of the proverbial farm. I'm dog-tired. A man can only go so long without submitting to a period of rest. For as we know from experiments conducted on American GIs during the Korean War, sleep deprivation is a one-way ticket to temporary psychosis. And I'm working on a 3-day jag. I got so goofy last night, Diane, lying here wondering whether I was going to live or die, that I thought I saw a giant in my room. Perhaps that's a story I'll save for another time. This is me, Dale, room 315 at the Great Northern Hotel, signing off.